صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا تسكنه أرضك الدوحة وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
For the well-being of the Imam of Age, for the well-being of all Mu'mineen and Mu'minat, for the destruction of those opposing every Mu'min, so that every evil is ousted from each one of us in every form, Allahumma salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. In one of the quotes that we have from our sixth Imam, mentions that Imam, he has lessons every day. And in his lessons, his one of those who attends regularly is Zurara. Zurara is one of the reporters from whom these authentic ahadith that we have been mentioned. And on one day, Zurara, he is absent. The next day, Imam inquires that, why were you absent yesterday? It's the that's the lesson of the Imam of your time. There should be a valid reason for your absence. Now, Imam, when he asks, he doesn't need to ask that ilm which is given to him. It's understood, he knows. But still, for the message to be conveyed to us, comes up with some reasons and then says, Imam, truly speaking, the reason for my absence was that I invited the best of those who cry for your grandfather Hussein to my house. It was a few of us, each one of us sat and we cried. So every one of us recited and all the others, they cried in turn. Imam says, I know that Zurara, because I was present in that majlis of yours. Zurara, he says, that I had that feeling that there is someone by the door. I had that sensation. Imam says, no feeling, no sensation. I was there present in that majlis of yours. That was my presence, myself, in person. Zurara says, Imam, if you had come, why didn't you come in? He says, how could I have come in? My mother Zahra was sitting by the footwear. So a majlis which is held, Abu Abdullah, it is great. And then Imam continues and says that wheresoever a majlis is held and the reciter and the listener, it's a one-to-one majlis, just two people, says the third one, are we the Ahlul Bayt? A service provided to this household, it never goes waste. Any investment, any step in the way of Ahlul Bayt never goes waste. And if it is the mission of Zainab al-Kubra, she herself helps. We have loads of examples, many from Quran, from Riwayat. Now looking into our day-to-day, this war that had unfolded in 2006, the 33-day war. Now this is being reported from our Ustad, Ayatullah Misbah. He says that after this fame which Sayyid Hassan had got on universal levels, international levels, he says, I went there and I met him. Now, normally, people, when they arrive to these high ranks, and especially international fame, there is a change in their attitude. He says that when I saw this Sayyid, he has become much more down to earth, much more humble, much more mutawadhi. And then he says that nothing did we do, everything was help from the unseen. And then he says that this is what has happened in the last few days. We had nothing to fight, no ammunition, no missiles, nothing at all. And it was as such that he was reported 15 minutes after, every 15 minutes, from the France to the headquarters, that what has happened in the past 15 minutes. He says that he was reported that we have nothing, we can't fight. Instructions given to those on the wall on battlefronts, whether it's up to you. You can retreat, you can come back if you want. You can stay there, fight with nothing, get killed, get shaheed. It's entirely up to you, decision is yours. And then he says, 15 minutes later, he gets a message that hit on that spot. They were all amazed that we had nothing, we did not do anything. And then at this point, in these last moments, the Sayyid, he says that I had a tawassul. I had tawassul and I was pleading and crying and asking the Ahlul Bayt to do something, as the honor, the izzat, the dignity of Muslims at large is at stake. He says that as I was pleading, a vision opens before me, Abu Kashif. Says that he himself is in the battlefront, and there is a lady present there, and that is Zainab al-Kubra. He comes to her and says, do something. Do something. Something has to be done. As we have nothing, dignity is at stake, Islam is at stake. She says, Sayyid, why do you worry? My mother Zahra, she is already present and she is doing what she needs to do. He says that I come closer to her and I start pleading, and then I see her. She's pointing at a spot and the missiles are being fired. And then he gets that message, hit, that's the right spot. Quran says, that is, never think that it is you who is throwing those arrows. It was Allah, the Lord of the Allah. So association, bonding with Ahlul Bayt has that beautiful effect. That is, the more closer a person is to Ahlul Bayt, the more he benefits. It was mentioned yesterday, crying is good. But what type of crying? Crying with ma'rifah carries a lot of weight. Without ma'rifah also it's good. Because the time will come that people, they will start shedding tears with more knowledge, with more ideology, with more ma'rifah, with more awareness. So that quality tears come at some point in our life and we have to work on it, especially the children. Living in these lands, we have to do something, that we have to train our eyes to cry for Ahlul Bayt. Initially they may just be tears, but a time will come that we understand what exactly happened there. When it is said that the armor of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, it bled on the day of Ashura, what does it mean? He is someone who starts the war before everyone, ends after everyone. The most amount of arrows were hit to Abu Abdullah. The most wounded was Abu Abdullah. Maqatil, they say that the armor which Imam was wearing was such that when he inhaled, when he exhaled, when he breathed in, when he breathed out, it was just blood pouring out of the body of Abu Abdullah from that armor. So understanding these things is important. We have to look into these issues and once in a while just sit and just bring to your mind, this was mentioned, what does it mean? Or sometimes it is said that Imam on the day of Ashura, it was as such that between him and the skies he just saw smoke. What does this mean? Was there smoke? It is that dehydration factor that Imam had. We have experienced this when you get thirsty so much and you look at someone you can't see, it's just a blurry vision. So Imam thirsty for 3 days, and in those extreme circumstances of Karbala, 50 plus Celsius temperature, and fighting for all day without any help, without any assistance. So that way you bring to your mind what exactly happened and then shed a quality tear for Abu Abdullah. And that one drop of tear just puts off the hellfire for us. Puts off the hellfire in this dunya, puts off the hellfire in the hereafter. So that we have to work, especially the children. Now how do you work on that? Whatever you like to listen to, whichever language, Noha, Marsiya, Latviya, listen to it over and over again, and then if you don't understand, ask your parents what it means, what does this mean? Because if we speak Urdu, if we speak Farsi, if we speak Arabic, doesn't necessarily mean that whatever is being said we understand. Because the language today is English. And in English you can't translate everything. It is a paralyzed, disabled language, we would say. But we have to work and come to a point that whatever is said, at least we try and cry. on Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There are a few masail, just as a reminder to be mentioned, and that is, when it comes to prayers for men, it is wajib. Fajr prayers, Maghrib, the first two raka'at, Isha, the first two raka'at, you have to recite them loud when you are doing it yourself, that is when farada. In Jama'at, you don't need to recite them. So, in your farada prayers, you have to say them loud. Loud meaning that you recite the surahs in a way that you hear them yourself, hear it yourself. So it shouldn't be a whisper. When you recite, it's two types of recitation. It's either a whisper, that you, it's a husky sound, or you have that little or that faintest voice of yours which is added to that husky sound of yours, that will be known as reciting loud. That is the minimum of it. We're not allowed to yell and shout also in namaz, that way the namaz also not problematic. So man, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr, the first two rak'ah, you must recite them loud. If by mistake, unknowingly, you recited them in ikhfa, that is silently, it's okay. But knowingly that mas'ala, you recited them silently, you have to repeat that prayer again. All other prayers, now for sisters, if there is a non-mahram present wherein she wants to recite these prayers, she is allowed to say that Fajr, Maghrib and Isha loud if there is no non-mahram present. But it's better to do it silently, as that is better. That is one. The second thing is that many of us, or all of us, we've got something wrong that we have done in the past. Maybe it's prayers, maybe it's the covering, maybe the dress code, anything. There might be a lot of wrong in us. Now when we talk to each other, we have no right to mention that. For example, I did not pray when I was young. I did not observe hijab when I was young. You don't need to say that. Muslims, mu'mineen, they have an ihtiram, they have an honor, which I myself have no right to tarnish it. If I do that, I am committing a sin. Confession in Islam is haram. Even if I have a bitter past, a negative past, a black past, a dark past, with all that sins, I shouldn't mention it. The quality of a mu'min, that is that adalat factor, it is that the present situation of his. You look at what he is now. If you find him that he is good, he's observing his prayers, he eats halal, that's fine, he is adil for you. You don't need to go back. So, that way, we find people who were good in the past, now they have a bitter present. So we can't say and judge them based upon their past. It's always the present factor, and you look into the cozy masail of whichever mujtahid you follow, you find that the first mas'ala says that you have to be in the taqleed of someone who is living now, not 50 years ago, who is baligh now, not 20 years later. Says that adil now, not that he was adil 5 years ago, no. Now, so all those conditions, qualities that are present, they are present qualities, so the same thing applies to us. If I had sins in my past, I have no right to mention them to you. If you had, God forbid, you don't need to mention it to anyone else. So that is that dignity of a mu'min has to be observed first by myself and then by others. So the other thing is that we who are organizers of affairs, organizers of programs, organizers of majalis, whatever, to whatever level, we find that at a time when we do a lot of good stuff, it was mentioned yesterday, there are khutuwat shaitan. Shaitan comes and attacks slowly. He doesn't come and say that, come on, this is the bottle of liquor, have it. He comes, attacks slowly. He comes and says, there is no one better in this group, you are the best one. Slowly that urge, that pride factor starts developing in us, and we come to a point that we think that there is really, we are the only ones. If we were not there, this would not have happened. So we have to be careful from this shaitan, distance as much as it is possible from him, that urge never stems in us. Now all this, a lesson to myself first. You brothers and sisters are reminding that we have to be careful when it comes to Shaitan and how he attacks. One more reminder, and that is, it was mentioned throughout these nights, that is, Allah, He has two types of mercies. One is the general mercy, open to everyone. And the second one is that rahimiyat, reflection of Allah, which is that special share of mercy, and that is towards the mu'mineen. So this also has to be enhanced as much as it is possible. The benefits which we get from Ahlul Bayt are from that rahimiyat, reflection of Allah. Only we get, everyone doesn't get. Why do we get that? Because we are attached to Ahlul Bayt. It is only for the Shias, for the mu'mineen. Others benefit from that general mercy of Allah, not from the special mercy of Allah. Special mercy of Allah is shifaat. Special mercy of Allah is health and grace. And that is seen in the quotes that we have from Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, Imams. Imams, they say that whatever you see and you benefit in this dunya, the assistance and support you get from us here, that is nothing. It's just a fraction of a fraction of a fraction you see here. Everything which is you will be getting there, part of it or a lot of it will be seen in the graves in Barzakh, and the rest of it in the hereafter. So what we benefit now, the examples that were mentioned, how Ma'sumeen are present in a majlis, how Ma'sumeen, their support, their help, in battle fronts towards the mu'mineen. All that is just a fraction. The rest of it is going to be in the hereafter. Now to enhance this, there are a few things. We talked about khawf, fright, long time ago. That is, to be scared, to be afraid, which is a good quality. Now khawf also is of different kinds. You've got khawf, which is mamdooh, which is respected, which is accepted. And which is, we have khawf, which is not accepted, which is not nice. Being scared of, as you say, scary cat, that is not a good quality. But sometimes being scared and to be afraid of what is going to unfold on us because of our bad performance, that is good. That is the khawf of Allah. Fear of Allah, we have to have that. Now how to apply this fear of Allah on us? We say that sins are bad, we shouldn't be sinning, it is haram. Now it's simple to say, but why is it haram? And what happens if someone does a haram? That has to be analyzed. Now I'll give you an example. One of the great ulama that we have, he is the ustad of Irfan of Marhum Imam Khomeini, it's Ayatullah Shah Abadi. He has just a few students, not many. Many ulama, they have hundreds, thousands of students. Now this one has only seven. Throughout his life, he educated only seven. One of them is Imam Khomeini. And in this study circle is Ayatullah Araki as well. He is reporting this. He says that on one occasion, one of the students of Marhum Shah Abadi Sayyid Mahdi, he gets up for his night prayers, Namaz Shab. And the layout of the construction in Iran is such that houses in the old Iran were raised. That is, part of the house was in the basement, part of it up. Now his room was up. To get to the yard, they didn't have any ensuite bathrooms and all that. Bathrooms, washrooms were outside in the yard. And there was a pond in every house, in the middle of the house. He says that he comes out of his house to go to the yard to perform his wuzu. He says that my house wasn't my house. As if a shrine, a huge big haram with hundreds of rooms surrounding that house. I was amazed to see that, where am I? How come my house has transformed to this place? He says, as I come towards the pond, the house, to do my wuzu, there I see there is a voice coming from one of the rooms. I go towards that room and there I see that voice is just increasing and increasing. I come and I see the room is locked from the grooves of the door. He says, I saw that there are two angels and there is someone dumped in the earth all the way up to his neck, and as if they are dumping something in his mouth. He was restless. He just starts banging at the door. Open, open, leave him. Don't hurt him. Nothing happened. Rushes straight to his ustad, Marhum Shah Abadi, at that night, that is before Fajr, and he starts banging at the door of his ustad. Ustad, he comes to the door and says, Sayyid Mahdi, they showed something to you. And you just panicked. He hasn't said anything to his ustad yet. He hasn't opened the door yet. Says, they showed something to you and you are panicking. Why? Ustad, he opens the door, he hugs, as he was just terrified. And then he says, what was this I saw? Says, a person in Tehran, it was his time of death. He was being, that is, he was dying. And that was the type of death he is seeing. And the reason for that is because his job was to do with this jewelry, interest. He used to give money, take a lot of interest for that. For that reason, that painful death. So, haram that we do, sins that we have, every sin of it has a form, and that form will be seen at the time of death. And many of those who don't commit sins because they see what the reality is, it's exactly like someone knowing that this liquid in front of me, it's poisonous, I will not drink it because I know it's going to be harmful for me. Sins also are of the same caliber. That is, because sins are harmful and there is a reality, a fact behind that, for that reason we have to be away from sins. One of the other things is, it's the day of Arba'een and we have about 17 to 20 million Mu'mineen present in Karbala. How is that possible? Karbala, those of you who have been, it's just a small piece of land, not huge. If you look into Karbala now, it's 1/4 of the population of England present in that small land, small town. How is that possible? So here we find that the teachings are such that this land of Karbala, it expands to accommodate everyone in it. That is the miracle which happens on this day. It is seen even during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Zar, in one of these battles, he sees Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen are present. He says that I want to invite you to come and have your dinner with me tonight. Listen. Now he comes and says, informs his wife that I've told them and they will be coming here for dinner. Now in the back, Rasulullah, he has 1,000 soldiers with him. Now he leaving the soldiers and going for a meal doesn't look nice, and that is against the etiquettes as well. Now he comes and it is time for food. Now wife has prepared something, a meal for the two of them, and Abu Zar and herself, 4. Now Rasulullah, he comes and says that we have come for the dinner. And I brought all the soldiers, 1,000 of them, they will be your guests. Now he doesn't say anything to Rasulullah, that is that adab, iman, which he possesses, that is the highest level of iman, comes and says to his wife that Rasulullah has brought with him all of those 1,000 men to this small house of ours, and they will have this meal with us. The wife of Mu'mina, she says, don't worry, if he has invited, he knows what he has done. Says that all of them, they come, they have their meal, they leave. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen and Rasulullah also have their meal. And they have left, whatever she has cooked has remained. That is barakat. How come so many people accommodated in that humble dwelling of Abu Zar? How come so many people were fed from that little pot that was cooked by the wife of Abu Zar? All these are things which exist and we have no calculations and we can get to nowhere, but that barakat is something which is given by Allah. Barakat is provided by Allah. So sometimes we find that there are 3 factors: time, place, and also people. Allah gives barakat to someone's time. You find that it's that one day which is given to me, one day is given to him, productivity from that one day, which he gets, it's massive, huge. What I get, it's nothing. How come? That is that barakah. Here we find that marhum Ayatullah Bahjat, throughout his day, 12 hours of his day was spent in worship. So sometimes these worships which he had, his son, he says that on and off, we used to come and tell him that if you could reduce this, he would. We cannot say that to him. We used to tell him this way, that your caliber, your knowledge, your students, if you give more time to them, and for that you need to study a lot more, so that way this worship of his will be reduced. He says that if I reduce from this worship, what I, the productivity of my delivering lectures and teaching, it is reduced by a lot only because of this worship. So that is that barakat which Allah gives to someone's time, that is as a result of bonding, associating with him. Sometimes we find that time, not every time is equal. We have hot spots in time. We have hot spots among mu'mineen. We have hot spots in the lands and places which Allah has created. Says that throughout this year of ours, he has all these hot spots times. Says month of Ramadan is given to mu'mineen so that they correct themselves. And then says Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr also he has kept it as a suspense. Says that we don't know whether it's 19th, 21st or 23rd. It's one of the three. If someone could benefit from this Laylatul Qadr, he has reached his destination. But many a times we don't. He says, don't worry. Night of Eid is there. You can benefit. If you haven't, day of Eid is present. Then says, if you were not lucky enough to benefit, day of Arafah is there. If you couldn't, says Ashura. Ashura is no less than Laylatul Qadr. Hur, who was deep down in the hellfire, because of this Ashura, because of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, he corrected and he is among the best today. So Aba Abdullah, he plays a pivotal role in the guidance of everyone. Now guidance of whosoever you look into, you will find that somewhere in his life, Aba Abdullah and Hussein plays a role. If you analyze all these converts, for example, just go and see somewhere, sometime, some point in their life, Hussein is there. A person, he comes to our aid, Imam Reza alayhi salam. And in that conversation, Imam replies that kulluna sufunun najat. That is, all of us, all ma'sumin, we are sufun, is the plural of safina, meaning ships, arks. Says that all of us are the arks of guidance. But Hussein, it's different. Ship of Hussein, awsa, much vast. Wa asra, fast. That is, you want to get corrected, come to this doorstep of Hussein. You want to get to your destination, to this doorstep of Hussein. Everything is found here. Every lost is found here. In one of these majalis that was held in Tehran, they have majalis every house. Now here you've got one on a weekend, for example. There they have majalis 10 days. Many of these houses they host. And the program was such that first it was Maghrib and Isha prayers, followed by Ziyarat Ashura. Marsiya they don't have, speech, and then Latmiya, Matam, and then Ziyarat and Kamkum. Then they had the food. Majlis was for 10 days, and there was a group of boys who come to this majlis only at the time when the food was being laid. So none of the components of that majlis, that is ziyarat, prayer, speech, latmiya, they were absent. Only when the food was laid, they knew it's going to be 9 o'clock, the food will be served, they come. Every day that was the pattern. Now on the 9th, that is Tasu'a, the host, he says that, what is this? This is not fair. A majlis with all this program is being conducted and you just come to eat. Now that group of four or five boys who had nothing to do with deen, only it was the attraction of Allah, the love brought them to the stable. They got offended and they did not come the next day. Here above the love that very night comes in the dreams of this host and said that, why did you turn them away? Says that, did they come to your house every day, 365 days of the year? Says no. Says, why did you turn them away? He says that namaz they don't offer, ziyarat they don't listen to, speech they are not part of it, latmiya they don't, and then it's only the food. Imam says, did they come for you, looking at your face, or was it that banner of mine they saw and they came? They were my guests. Why did you turn them away? Go and bring them back. He says, I came to them, found them where they live, and told them to come to Majlis tonight. They say, why? Yesterday you kicked us out, you offended us, you disrespected us, and tonight you want us to come back. Why is that? He did not want to say what happened, and then he says, this is the reason. Says, that was the turning point in the life of those five boys. Those who had nothing to do with deen has everything to do with deen now. So Safinatul Hussein awsa, Safinatul Hussein asra. Ship of Hussein, it's vast, it is fast. No matter how much wrong we may have in our system, that can be corrected, that can be forgiven. So time, it plays a factor. People also, not every person is alike. The teaching that we have is that you never underestimate any person. Maybe that person who you want to hurt, be a waliyullah. You hurt a waliyullah, you hurt Allah. You please a waliyullah, you please Allah. And the same thing is places, not every place is alike. Certain places, they are great. In Kamil al-Ziyarat, we have a hadith. It says that everything in this creation of Allah, it speaks. It says that the land wherein Kaaba is located boasts. It says, I am that piece of land wherein the house of Allah is located. Every person points at this house of Allah, this direction. And says, there is no piece of land better than me. As this piece of land where Kaaba is located was boasting, here's a call, hush, quiet, what do you say? That was from Karbala. Says, this piece of land where Hussein is buried is much greater, much higher, much more exalted than you. If Kaaba is Kaaba today, it is because of Hussein. If people are directed towards Kaaba, it is because of Hussein. If Kaaba is sacred today, it is because of Hussein. And that we see in Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa, which was recited by Imam, says that the exaltedness of Kaaba was perished, was sacrificed, as the sacrifice when Abu Abdullah Hussein was sacrificed, was killed. Hussein, he is great. And for that reason, we find that Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, he was mentioned yesterday, that when he comes to this grave of Abu Abdullah on a day like today, on a time maybe like now, says that he washes himself, wears the best of his fragrances, as if he has become a muhrim, an ihram he has worn, coming towards the grave of Abu Abdullah. Says with bare feet, with baby steps, comes towards the grave and suddenly he says, Allahu Akbar, three times. That is, the greatness of Abu Abdullah was such that he had to say Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater. Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar. And comes to the grave of Abu Abdullah. We find that throughout our life, Abu Abdullah has a lot of role to play. Rasulullah, when Abu Abdullah was a toddler, he is saying his prayers, says Allahu Akbar. Being a young child next to Rasulullah, he wants to say Allahu Akbar but couldn't say it correctly because it's that baby language. Says Allahu Akbar once again. He could say it a little bit better. 3 times, much better. 4th time, fine tuning was much better. Says the 7th time when Rasulullah said Allahu Akbar, Aba Abdullah and Hussein said Allahu Akbar exactly like Rasulullah. Says this will be a sunnah of mine, be part of your prayers, mustahab before you say your prayers. Say these takbirat, the 7th takbir be the opening, the takbir to the ihram of your prayers. So Aba Abdullah is like that. Says consuming dust, haram. Only exception is the dust of the grave of Hussein, for Shabbat. You taste that dust of the grave of Hussein, it is mustahab when a baby is born. The first thing you give to this baby is this dust of the grave of Hussein. That is the connection with wilaya from day one. And when we feed the baby with this dust of the grave of Hussein on the first day, that connection and bond will continue till the end of his life. We find that Marhum Ayatullah Osman Hujjat, he felt ill, and then when they bring water to him and also turbat for his shifa, he consumes it and says that this is the last bit of the sustenance and rizq which Allah has for me in this dunya, which is being consumed. He eats it and he dies. So first feed was turbat, last feed was turbat. So that is something to bear in mind, that we have to have that bond and connection with Aba Abdullah and Hussein all the way through our life. One of these books that we have, it's these Peshawar Nights. You have it in all these different languages. Writer, the author of it, it's Marhum Hussein. He says that he was ill and cancer. No treatment in those days. And he was said that for that treatment of his, he needs to travel. And also, he says that his wife comes and says that we have an outlet, and that is Hussein. Why not we go to Karbala for ziyarat? Maybe you are granted with this shifa. He says, okay, you avail the trip, but don't tell anyone that we are going to Karbala. Tell them you're going to Tel Aviv for medical treatment. Why Tel Aviv? He says that if it is destined that cure, shifa, not be granted to me, I don't want people to say that Aba Abdullah did not cure him. Don't tell them that you're going to Karbala for shifa. So that is the height of iman of this person. Wife, she avails the trip. Husband in the car. They come all the way from Ahwaz towards Qazimain, and all the way through the trip was done. Says that they come to Karbala, they come to Najaf, Qazimain, Samira, everything was done and they are en route back to Iran and nothing has happened, and he on a stretcher, and in that bus, so many people present in that bus, and he couldn't move. He had occupied 2-3 seats in that bus. Says that someone on the highway stops. Now the driver, he stops the bus and he embarks. Starts speaking to the driver. There was some communication between the two. Gives him a package and says that on your way you will be deliver this to that house. And all that. He says that this young person sitting in the bus was reciting Quran. We never heard such recitation. What did he recite? Says وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا from Surah Al-Dahr. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. So these ayat were being recited. And then, all of a sudden, he says that, Sayyid Husayni, how are you? He says, Alhamdulillah. And then, when it comes to a point, he says that I want to get down here. No livelihood, nothing at all. He stops the bus And this young person comes out of the bus, and Sayyid Husseini, when he was asked that, how are you, he said, he said that what his problem is, he says, you'll be fine now. That's it, you'll be fine. Says he stops the bus, and as he disembarked, now they saw that it's such a wonderful person reciting Quran in such a beautiful way. As gratitude, as ihtiram, as respect, everyone comes out to see him off from the bus. This person on the stretcher also, he walks behind him.
Allah.
Everyone was amazed. At that point, they were just shaken. They were confused that what happened. But when the bus started moving, they see this Sayyid who was so ill that Shifa has been granted. When they turn back to see who it was, Ghalib, that was the Imam of H. Iman you have with Imam, whatsoever you want, you get. So many examples were mentioned throughout these nights that Ahlul Bayt are there. No matter what dead end, that dead end can be opened, outlet is Ahlul Bayt. We be with them, they say that you don't need to learn a lot. Whatever you've learned, stick and abide by it, practice it, the rest of that we will teach you. That is, examples were mentioned yesterday. Some person, that person who had such a bitter past, only two things he says. That mahabbat he has towards Ahlul Bayt, mahabbat he has towards Hussein, message he says to Ruhullah, first of all, that I did not cheat you. Second, I have a bitter past, I want you to be my Shafi because you are the son of Zahra. So that is that bond. With that bond, we will succeed. With that bond, we will benefit in this dunya, barzakh and qiyamah. And then says that mu'mineen, what they will benefit from Ahlul Bayt in the hereafter is yet to be seen. Here, Marhum Pujani, in his book, Siyahat-e-Sham, he writes his own biography, his own life after death. Now, Shaheed Mutahari, he says that when I was a young student at that time, I asked him, how come you have written your own life after death in this book? He says, it's all these visions I see, I saw, and certified by Quran and Hadith, this book is presented. He says that, I see that it is the first day of mine in Barzakh. That is how the book starts. He has a guide, he names him Hadi, and says that Hadi, he comes to me and says, Sayyid Khujani, his name is Abbas. We have a delegation, they want to come and see you. He says, who are they? Says, it's all these descendants of the Imams, you paid a visit during your lifetime, they want to come and see you here in your grave in Barzakh. Ziyarat that we pay to Mahsumin, ziyarat that we, the visitations that we have to the descendants of Mahsumin, they never go waste. Everything is safe, everything is secure. They say that this group of Imam Zadas, they want to come and say, visit you. He was extremely happy that in this loneliness, in this barzakh, and his first day of loneliness, that someone is coming to visit, and the descendants of Ahlul Bayt. Extremely happy. He says that they come. And among them is Habib ibn Mazahir as well. Now here the charge of guide, being a guide, is taken over by Habib. Habib ibn Mazahir comes to Sayyid Khujani and says that, I've got a special message for you. Says, what is that special message? Says, Zainab al-Kubra has conveyed, extended her special salams to you. And then he says that, furthermore she has said, all those discreet crying of yours, those discreet tears you shed on my brother Hussein in the azar of this household, all that is safe, all that is secure, all that will be paid back to you. He says that as this communication with Habib was continuing at a distance, I see there are two young lads, both of them armed. as if swords hanging by their waist. I ask Habib, who are they? He says, one is Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Says, the other one is Ali Akbar. Habib says, Sayyid Uchani, he says, do you need to be armed here in Barzakh? He says, you don't need to be armed in Barzakh, but because it was their desire, their wish to support and to help the Imam of their time, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, they had high hopes, high aspirations, high desires, which could not materialize whilst they were living in this dunya. They are waiting for the Imam of age, the 12th Imam, to arrive for them to return and to serve him so that their wishes, their desires are met. Ali Akbar and Abu Fazl. We find on the day of Ashura, Abu Fazl, he is the backbone of Abu Abdullah. As long as he was there, Imam also was strong, he was firm. When he sets off to the river to get that water, he was shot. One of his arms he loses, holds the vessel with his left, with his other arm. Is shot, and as that vessel is to drop, he holds it with his mouth. He is shot again, falls to the ground. When he fell, an Imam is informed that Abu Fazl has fallen to the ground. He rushes to the scene, holds him, puts his head in his lap, wants to open his eyes but cannot, as he is shot in the eye, filled with blood, removes that arrow and gives away his life in the arms of his master, Abu Abdullah. Maqadir, they say that the performance of Abu Abdullah was amazing. He comes towards the camp, and throughout that battle, especially towards the end, when there wasn't anyone left, we find that Abu Abdullah, he comes towards the camps, says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah loud, so that the women and children, they are at ease, at rest, that my master, the elderly of this group, he is still alive, so we are safe. Here they say that Imam, he comes towards the camp, doesn't say anything. The column of the tent of Imam Abu Fazl al-Abbas, he removes it, and the camp, the tent, it collapses to the ground. Everyone understood, found out that Abu Fazl is no more. He says that now in Kasar al-Zahri, my back, it broke. One after the other, everyone passed away. The only one remaining now is Ali Asfar, infant of Abu Abdullah. Comes to Zainab and says, Zainab, let me say farewell to my son. Brings Ali Aslam to the front, to the battle front, wants to kiss his infant, lowers his neck to kiss his son. Before he kisses that three-headed arrow of that mal'oon, it lands onto the neck of Ali Aslam. It was the three-headed arrow, and Maqatil, they say that فَذَبَحَهُ مِنَ الْأُذُنِ إِلَى الْأُذُنِ, and it sliced the neck of this infant from one ear to the other, and this infant, dehydrated, weak, couldn't even sigh, and that way gives away life in his, in the arms of his father. Imam, he collects the blood that is flowing from his neck, and wants to throw it to the skies, wipes it onto his beard and says, this is how I will meet my grandfather on the day of judgment. We find that the missionary of this day of Arba'een is Zainab al-Kubra. Services provided by Zainab al-Kubra cannot be mentioned, cannot be defined. Great throughout that day,
From the day of Ashura and until the last day of her life, this is seen. We find that when Abu Abdullah falls to the ground on that day, it is Zainab who is in the camp, she rushes to the scene. No longer they say that she falls down, she stands up, she falls down, she stands up, throwing that dust and sand onto her head and comes to the scene. Say starts bleeding and crying, and then Hussein Ali and then Jalal. Are you my support? Are you my mother's son? Are you my brother Hussein? Says that Hussein, he was busy whispering and in his munajat. Says that she sits and makes Abu Abdullah sit. And then Hussein, he opens his eyes. So she is the one who brings Hussein back. Now when it is time for her to travel from Karbala all the way in captivity to Sham, here when they are made to embark on those miserable rides, they come to this place where the body is laid bare, bound and crushed. Says that they throw themselves from those rides onto that blazing sand of Karbala, and then that cry of Zainab Kubra. Even the reporters from among the enemies, they say that we cannot forget that cry. How she pleaded for her brother, how she cried for Hussein. She, when she wants to embark, she is reminded of that day, that throughout her life she has 7 trips, that when they were alive, on one side it was Ali Akbar, on the other side it was Abu Fazl al-Abbas. They helped her ride and embark that camel. But now Zainab al-Kubra has to take the charge. She helps everyone embark, and she is the last one to get on, and there is no one to help. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-ladheena zalamu ayyamun ghalabin yanqalibun. Ilahi, bihaqq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 إلهي بحق الحسين إلهي بحق الحسين إلهي بحق الحسين. Keep us firm on this path of Hussein. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein. The wrong that we have done, forgive us. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein. Our children to be counted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein. Hasten in the return of our master, our imam, our hujjah. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, count us among the best of his supporters. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, all those who are ill and ailing, all those who want shifa, shifa be granted to them. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, all those who have passed away, Allah forgive them and elevate their ranks. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, all these visitors and zuwars, mourners and those who cry for Hussein, protect them, keep them safe. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, the enemies of Hussein, ruin them, clear the surface of this earth by their presence. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, never ever throughout our life can come across a separation, a distance between us, Quran and Ahlul Bayt. May that be for a moment in this dunya, barzakh or qiyam. Ilahi bihaqq al-Hussein, grant us all a good end. Wa'ajjil fi faraji mawlana, sahib al-zaman, mawlana Hussein. Hussein, 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 Hussein,